If you have your Bible handy, will you get it, please, and turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10? I desire today to bring before you two questions that are found in this remarkable chapter. The first one is asked by a young man and a rich man and one who was a ruler. The question is asked to the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is this: what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? The second question is found in the last part of the chapter. It is asked by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is asked of a blind beggar, one who had just been calling out, "Have mercy on me." The Lord Jesus asked him, "What wilt thou then that I should do unto thee?" I believe that you will be struck by the contrast in these two questions, and I trust that in the contrast seen, that the Lord may be pleased by his Holy Spirit to clearly show the answer to the first question, that is, what shall I do to have eternal life? And I trust that this is your desire, that you want to have eternal life, that you know your need of eternal life, and perhaps you realize you do not have eternal life. I believe that you will find the answer suggested in the Lord's question when he asked that blind beggar, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" I trust to show that salvation is not through our doing, but rather through the doing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But consider with me now this young man. He's a very admirable character. He comes to the Lord running. We see that he is definitely in haste. And we read that he kneeled to him. And surely he is in earnest. And in addressing the Lord Jesus, he calls him good master. Certainly we would say he is very respectful. And then you notice his question. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Regardless of his riches, regardless of his youth and his position, he realized that he lacked something. He knew what he lacked. He lacked eternal life. I wonder if the listener realizes his lack. You may have everything here in this life, but do you realize that if you have not Christ, you have not life? Is there a longing in your heart for that which you know you should have and must have? Now the Lord Jesus answers this man on the ground in which he comes. The Lord Jesus knows how to deal with each individual soul. And he said to him, first of all, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." I believe the first reason for the Lord answering him in this way is to impress upon him the fact that he himself, this rich young man, was not good, that God alone was good. The Bible tells us there is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. The reason for this is because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's no exception for this. There is no difference. And this is true of all men. This man did not realize his sinnership. I feel very clear about it. The very fact is that he wanted to do something. Sin is that which renders one helpless and useless. In fact, it puts one in a state of spiritual death before God. But the Lord Jesus, I believe, in asking this question, also gave this man a wonderful opportunity to come forth and say, "Why, thou art good, Lord Jesus, because thou art God." But as yet he knew him not. And in fact, the sad part of the story is that it seems as though he never knew him. I wonder if you know the Lord Jesus as the good God, the Savior. Now you notice, however, the Lord Jesus meets this man on the ground in which he came. He wanted to do something. He thought eternal life was obtained by doing, and so he says, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother." Now the Lord put before him the table of the law that had to do with man's responsibility towards his fellow man. And the rich young man answered him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." And I have no doubt he was honestly sincere. He had not killed anyone. He had not committed adultery. And as far as he could see, and as far as his fellow men could point out, why, he was blameless in this respect. But the point is this, and what the Lord Jesus brings out, and what we trust that you will see, that if this is true of you, if your outward conduct is perfect even before men, yet still, that does not make you right with God. Oh, how true this is. I trust we all will see. Many shut their eyes to it. Many pat themselves on the back, feeling that they do the best they can. They are better than others. But dear friend, this is not what gives eternal life. The Lord Jesus, however, is drawn to this man. He beholds him and he loves him, we read in verse 21. And yet he says to him, "One thing thou lackest." Just one thing. Well, one thing is all that a man needs to lack, you see, if he's going to go to heaven. You can have everything, but if you lack Christ, if you lack eternal life, if you lack attachment for the Lord Jesus, why, you lack the essential. And so here he points out to him his lack. Though he had been outwardly perfect in his dealing toward his fellow man, and yet notice how he brings to him the fact that he was lacking toward God. Notice it now. He tells him, "Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor." Now you notice that this man claimed to have kept his responsibility toward his fellow man. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." All right, so the Lord tests him as to this. And did he pass the test? Was he willing to dispense of his goods and give to the poor? Did he love his neighbors himself? No, he didn't. And it just serves to prove, dear friend, that if eternal life were obtained by doing something, you and I and everyone else would lack both the desire and the ability to do what is required. And that is what the Lord is showing here. Eternal life is not procured by our doing. This man was sad. He had great possessions, and he went away grieved. He didn't want to part with them. He did not love his neighbor as himself. And then furthermore, he says, "Come, take up the cross and follow me." He did not choose to do that. The cross is that which brings an end of things here to the soul. The cross is that which deals the death blow to the soul who is a sinner. The cross is that which severs one from the world and his possessions. But it is that which alone opens up the road to glory. "Come, follow me." But this man did not want to follow Christ. He wanted eternal life without Christ. He wanted earth instead of heaven. He wanted his possessions rather than the cross. And so when he is tested, he fails. And how sad to see that we read here that he was sad at that saying. Oh, how man fails indeed. If he would only acknowledge it, if he'd only see his need, it would be for his blessing. But alas, men are blinded, blinded by the things of earth, blinded by their possessions, blinded by their position. So much so that when the Lord looked around about, he says to his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Are you letting anything keep you from Christ? Do the abundance of your possessions have first place in your heart, and you want them, and you want that rather than earth, rather than heaven, rather? You would rather keep your earthly possessions than to get heavenly and eternal realities? How hardly shall they that have riches? The disciples are astonished at this, and they said, "Who then can be saved?" who then can be saved? And the Lord Jesus comes up with this answer, with men it is impossible, and how true it is. And I wish to show, and I trust that you have seen already from what we have looked into, a connection with this rich man. Not one thing that he could do could give him eternal life. It is impossible to do one thing to receive eternal life. It is not received by our doing. But you notice, the Lord Jesus gives a clue to the answer when he says, with God, all things are possible. And beloved friend, salvation that you need, eternal life which you require, if you are to live forever in glory, and if you're not to perish in an eternal hell, you must have eternal life. It is that which is given to you as God's gift, not to be worked for, not to be earned, not to be merited, but the gift of God is eternal life. The Lord wants to have you see that you must be in the position of a receiver, not a giver, of one who receives the results of something that is done for him, not the doer. God doesn't ask you to do because he knows you are without strength. In the passages that follow, the verses that follow this, the Lord's crucifixion is brought before us. He tells about his going up as the Son of Man to be delivered to the chief priests, to the scribes, to be condemned to death, to be delivered to the Gentiles. He says, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. The Lord Jesus brings to our attention thereby that which alone can affect eternal life for us. Eternal life is the greatest possession, that which you need more than anything else. But it is obtained through the death of Christ, through his rejection, and through his bloodshedding, through his death, and through his resurrection. This is what he puts before us. This is the message of the gospel. The gospel tells us that Christ has done the work, and we are to be the benefactors of that work. Christ is the one who finished redemption's salvation, and we are the one who are to be redeemed and receive that salvation. In the last question, we see this brought out. This blind beggar, pathetic indeed, and yet, you know, one that had heard of Jesus. And when he realized Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he cried out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And what a marvel to read here of the grace and goodness of God that is seen. His long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, Jesus stood still. Oh, let me assure you that if there's any real desire on your heart to be blessed, to have eternal life, that you might have your eyes opened, that you might see, the Lord Jesus will stand still for you. In fact, he is right at your side. He is presented in the word that you have in your hand. He stood still, and he commanded him to be called. And the Lord Jesus commands that you be called. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give ye rest." And when Jesus comes before this man, this blind beggar, this is the question that he asked. "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" This blind beggar had found out he could do nothing. Sin had rendered him spiritually blind as well as physically. Sin had caused him to be a spiritual bankrupt as well as a literal beggar. He needed someone to help him. He needed someone to undertake for him. The Lord knew that. He had cried for mercy. The Lord heard that. And let me remind you that if you cry from your heart, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner," the Lord Jesus will say of you, just as he said of the man that made that prayer, that man went down to his house justified. But you see, you must put yourself in a place of one who desires God to undertake for you, the Savior to save you, not for you to do like the rich young man, but for you to receive what Jesus is ready and willing to do. What wilt thou that I should do unto you? Salvation is the result of his work. I trust that today you will see that. It's by grace we are saved, through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Will you say that? Will you listen to the Savior saying that to you? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Will you not tell him, Lord, that I might receive my sight? Lord, I desire eternal life. He will say, believe on me. For in John 6:47 we read, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. The blind man had his eyes open. He went his way. And the Lord told him that his faith had saved him. That's it. Faith, not works. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus in the way. Dear listener, will you not today look at these two questions and cease having the attitude of the rich young ruler by saying, what shall I do to have eternal life? But rather to be in the place of the blind beggar, a willing recipient of the Lord Jesus who has done it all at Calvary. He is asking you right now, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Tell him, Lord Jesus, save me. I believe that thou didst die for me. I accept thee as my Savior, and he will save you.